Hi, everyone. This is Patricia Corey. I am in Kazakhstan, believe it or not, in my nonstop world tour, bringing what I can to the remote corners of the world. And so it's midnight here. If I sound a little rummy, it's because I'm trying to hang in there in the late hour. I have news. First of all, many of you know that I've been working toward opening an organization called SaveEarthsOceans.inc. And I have the very good news that finally the American government has granted me the nonprofit status to operate as a charity. So this is huge news. And many of you have been asking me what you can do, how you can help. And I'm talking, of course, about the cetaceans and the oceans. And in fact, many of you have also been asking, when can you send donations? I'm very, very grateful that there's so much concern and support. And this is a huge step. And within a very short time now, I will be rolling and moving forward with so many of the programs that I have in mind, one of which is to support active operating people who are working, activists who are out there doing what I consider really important work. And so I'm really honored to bring back to you a friend and a fellow activist, someone who I think has her finger on the pulse big time, and she's certainly going to inform us what's going on today. I'm speaking of Roslyn Peterson, who is the president of the Agricultural AgriculturedefenseCoalition.org, among the many other things she does. Let's just bring her on. I think by now you know who she is. I've given you her titles over and over again. Let's spend the time talking about what is going on with the Navy and our beloved oceans. Hi, Roslyn.
Well, hello, and thank you very much for having me on your show today. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you.
You're always welcome, Roslyn.
Thank you. One of the things I want to let everyone know is that the United States Navy is conducting warfare testing in the Pacific, the Atlantic, and the Gulf of Mexico. There are 12 separate ranges. This is boundary areas where the Navy has been and is now conducting these five-year warfare testing programs. And what is really shocking about this is that this is new weapon systems testing, sonar testing, bomb blasts, toxic chemicals, and advanced warfare systems, of which it's almost incomprehensible to believe the impact of some of these programs on marine mammals. We are talking 5,000-pound bombs. This is live fire exercises, by the way. And in many regions, the Navy has refused to protect a single National Marine Sanctuary, a single marine reserve, a single biologically sensitive areas, or breeding and feeding habitats. And along the California coast, they are refusing, as in some other areas, to stop training exercises and use of sonar and bomb blasts during the gray whale and other marine mammal migrations that happen all of the time along our coast. What happens is that this is happening in the Atlantic side of the ocean, all the way from Maine to Florida and in the Gulf of Mexico. And now the Navy has proposed expanding its warfare testing ranges to make them much larger than ever before and to practice outside the boundary of the ranges. So it will negate the need to have separate ranges, because then the Navy will be allowed to practice anywhere at any time without really protecting any of the marine mammals, the fish. They don't protect fish now. They don't protect habitats in most regions. I know this sounds shocking, but since 2008, they have implemented these 12 ranges to be in full active operation. Many people are seeing the flights over land areas. They're also opening up drone testing with proposals to have drones that are nuclear-powered. They're allowing the, especially in Boardman, in Oregon, the Boardman Range, they're going to be using military testing with drones carrying bombs, new weapon systems testing. They're going to be using private contractors and the Navy for drone surveillance of populated areas on land and over the oceans. And they're going to be testing these new methods on all of us. And it's quite shocking, to say the least.
Yeah, it is quite shocking to say the least. What's really quite shocking, even more shocking, is that we still have large portions of our societies who are anesthetized to what's going on. I mean, we're talking about the militarization, the total militarization of the planet. And, you know, we can also talk about what's going on in preparation for the 2012 Olympics. It's nothing short of a war zone in London.
Oh, and I'm sure around the surrounding ocean areas as well. I mean, I can't imagine how much military activity is going on there as well.
Right. So
I don't know that the public in the United States is really anesthetized in some ways. I mean, there's people that know that have been working really hard to stop some of these programs. But I think that there has been a definite blackout by the news media not to talk about the extent of these ranges, nor how much weapons testing is being done, how much use of sonar, how much use of new weapon systems testing, and the complete scope of all these ranges. I just don't think that that people really know, because the major news media refuses to cover the story.
Well, what do you think is going on? Okay, that is, of course, we know that the main media is never going to really talk about the real stories anywhere on the planet. Suffice to say that Fukushima is an example of that. But I would like to speak to you about what you think really is their agenda. I mean, this is not just they refuse to protect the cetaceans. This is all-out war against the cetaceans.
Oh, it's all out war against our oceans. It's even worse than that, because they're not.
Yes.
The Navy essentially has refused to protect any of these wonderful natural resources. They're refusing to protect. In other words, they're in full-scale war against the oceans all around us here in the United States and the island areas.
Yeah, there's a full-scale war against planet Earth. I mean, let's face it, we have been really just seeing the decimation of the planet in the last few years. But back to the oceans, do you feel that there is, what is the true intention here? I mean, I'm obviously this is hypothetical and I'm asking you for a rhetorical question, but in your opinion, what really is their intent?
I think the intent of the U.S. government, the intent is to become a world power and to become world dominant and to rule other countries and enforce, in other words, enforce certain, in other words, they're going to become the world enforcer for whatever our goals are. And in order to do that, we have to have this worldwide navy. So, and in having this worldwide navy, we become truly an enforcer. And I'm going to tell you, this country is going to go broke doing this kind of enforcing, because all the other countries are running out of money. England is cutting back its national defense. It's cutting back in certain areas and certain military things it's going to be doing once the Olympics are over. All of Europe is bankrupt or broke, with the exception of probably Germany. And you've got other countries who aren't going to be able to financially support our empire building. Eventually, it's going to bankrupt all of us. And right now, In the U.S. House of Representatives this past week, they passed a military budget. And what they did is they said they don't want any cutbacks, which were in the military budget that were supposed to kick in January 2013. And in order, think about this, in order that no military budget cuts are to happen in 2013, even just the minor ones, which even the Defense Department said this is okay, they said the U.S. House of Representatives said, well, we'll cut back on Medicare, food stamp programs, programs for the poor, education. We're going to take out these areas so that we can fund our military. I can't even imagine that the Republicans in the House of Representatives would even think that this would be even remotely acceptable. And yet here they are, we're going to cut back the programs for the poor, for lots of people, for Medicare, senior citizens, just because we can't afford to allow any cutbacks to the military budget.
Well, yes, but then bear in mind, of course, that all of the Congress people, well, I shouldn't say all, but we know that they are all receiving their due rewards for passing legislature that pleases big pharma and other big corporations. So it's not that to think that they're really working for society, I think we recognize this is a pipe dream. What they're really working for is their own interests.
Well, corporate interests. I agree.
Yeah.
And also the military-industrial complex, because you see, we couldn't let anything happen to that industry because we're the number one supplier of arms in the world to other countries. So, in other words, we're not only using these arms that we make here in the United States, but we're selling them to the other countries as well.
Yeah, we have to have something to export.
That's right. And so here we are exporting weapons of war, which makes us less safe here in the United States. I can't fathom this scenario at all. And this is what we're doing. But I do want to get back to something about the Navy here.
Yes, so
do I. The U.S. Navy, a couple of months ago, initiated a new warfare testing range for public comment, and it's Northern California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, and the Gulf of Alaska. They expanded a range that was here and decided that they would have public comment on this range from people in those areas. Now, public comment for this new range, that this new expansion, ended on April 27th, 2012. What became really interesting is that on May 11th, yesterday, it was revealed that the Navy had conducted a new study of sonar and explosives and had revealed the fact that it would hurt more marine mammals than they once thought.
Right.
And it says the Navy estimates its use of explosives and sonars may unintentionally cause more than 1,600 incidences of hearing loss or other injuries to marine mammals each year. And this is between the years 2014 and 2019. And in other words, that explosives have the potential to do a lot of harm, much more harm than they thought. The Navy actually suppressed this report so that we couldn't use it in our public comment of the proposed range in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington. It's the Northwest Training and Testing Range. And I thought that this was really odd that our public comment ended, and then less than a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden we find out about this report. So the Navy suppressed this report so that the people wouldn't know and be able to make this part of their public comment. And they didn't tell us in any of the meetings that they were holding about this issue. So there's a bit of a cover-up going on.
You think?
I think. Sure,
But
absolutely.
as I recall, Rosalind, the last time you were on, we discussed, I believe, the number that was the take, as they called it, was something around 11 million marine mammals, as I recall, in a 5-year program. So, isn't that pretty much the target that wasn't that already established back then when we spoke? That's what they were
Well,
going for?
here's what happened. In 2009, there were seven senators, U.S. senators, who actually, I'll just read you their one little quote because it's the best part of it. But it said, this was in 2009, it said, "In many regions, the Navy plans to increase the number of its exercises or expand the areas in which they may occur, and virtually every coastal state will be affected. Some exercises may occur in the nation's most biologically sensitive marine habitats, including national marine sanctuaries and breeding habitat for the endangered North Atlantic right whale. In all, the Navy anticipates more than 2.3 million takes, significant disruptions in marine mammal foraging, breeding, and other essential behaviors per year, or 11.7 million takes over the course of a 5-year permit." Now, what I want to say here is that the 11.7 million figure that was used is when they were only proposing eight ranges and not the current 12. So
Oh,
that
right.
figure is now very low. And for your audience, let me give you an idea of what the definition of take is. Defined under the Marine Mammal Protection Act as harass, hunt, capture, kill, or collect, or attempt to harass, hunt, capture, kill, or collect, and defined under the Endangered Species Act is to harass, harm, pursue, hunt, shoot, wound, kill, trap, capture, or collect, or to engage in any such conduct.
Sometimes it becomes so overwhelming that it's really, really hard to not start screaming. But of course, we have to stay balanced and look at solutions and what we can do. And certainly, you are a model of that. So, what are you proposing now for the awake human beings to do about this?
Well, one of the things that I have put onto my website, agriculturedefensecoalition.org, once you go there, in the center of the page, you will find a place which says categories. And under categories, you will find, going down to the U section, you will find five United States Navy sections, which we're updating almost daily with new information at this point. Under those five sections, you will find a U.S. Navy map of all the ranges. You will find the environmental impact statements. There's two, one for the Atlantic and one for the Pacific, where you can make public comments about their proposals and raise issues and questions. And you can either write to them. Their address is there, or you can file your public comment online. In addition, the U.S. Navy has made the decision not to have very many meetings. So a lot of these Atlantic, for example, on the Atlantic coast, the affected areas go all the way from Texas to Florida along the Gulf of Mexico, and then from Florida to Maine. But many of these states don't even have one meeting. The U.S. government decided that Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Maryland, a lot of states, Louisiana, for example, and Texas did not have any right to have any meetings for this subject to be discussed by the public with the Navy. In addition, your U.S. Senators and House of Representative members may not have been notified about these Navy programs because the Navy only notifies select members of the U.S. House or Senate and does not notify the majority of even the governors of affected states, much less elected officials in other capacities. One of the things we're asking people to do is to call toll-free our elected officials in Washington, D.C., and that toll-free number is 1-866-220-0044, and that's 1-866-220-044.
Can you say that again, Rosalind, because your voice cut out for a minute?
Okay, it's 1-866-220-0044, and that's a toll-free number. We're encouraging everyone to protest what the Navy is doing at this point and to write to letters to the editor. We're encouraging people to take the information to city councils and county governments. We're also encouraging people to write to every single newspaper. You can feel free to click on the articles or the information I have or copy it just from the website, and to make sure that newspapers and elected officials have those that information and that you're protesting that the Navy isn't going to protect any National Marine sanctuaries, breeding habitats, all of this. The quote that I have is on the website that I read to you earlier from Senators Dianne Feinstein and others, and you can also see that document. We have it on the website for everyone to read the entire document, and we have the U.S. Navy maps. We have all the areas where they're currently testing and the proposed testing ranges.
And are they also having free access to test, let's say, in other international waters?
Well, they're testing so far out into the Pacific and Atlantic, they have to be in international waters. From the maps that we see, they're not just hugging the shoreline. They're starting to connect huge boundaries between, for example, Hawaii and Southern California. There's a huge range there. They're testing way out, miles and miles and miles out into the Atlantic seaboard. They're not staying within a shoreline boundary now. They're testing almost everywhere they want to test now. And there's very little opposition because most other countries don't even know.
What do they need to test? How much more do they have the kill factor?
Well, the thing that I would suggest here is that they don't need all of this practice and they don't need to have all this live fire testing.
Right.
And so, because when you do live fire, you've got unexploded ordnance on the sea floor. You're going to have marine debris, which is going to wash up on shore. But I can tell you that in every range, what is being tested by the Navy is almost identically the same, with maybe a few exceptions. So we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of the MK-82 live bomb. It's a 500-pound bomb being set off. We're talking about there's the 500-pound MK-82, there's the 1,000-pound MK-83, there's the MK-84, which is a 2,000-pound bomb, which is new. We're talking about every year there's going to be shooting off of HARM missiles, Hellfire missiles, Maverick missiles, Harpoon missiles, SLAM-ER missiles, the MK-48 AD CAP torpedo, and I'm reading from their list right now, and the list goes on and on and on, talking about all of the things, the chemicals. The Navy environmental impact statements list all the hazardous materials. They're going to be dumping many of them into the ocean once they're dispensed with them, along with toxic chemicals. And this is in all the ranges. I mean, this is not just one range. This is all 12 of the currently operating ranges. And this is going to be, this is from Hawaii. When you consider that they're already practicing in the Mariana Islands Range Complex, the Hawaiian Islands, the Jacksonville Range Complex, the Cherry Point Range Complex along the Atlantic seaboard, Virginia Capes, the Gulf of Mexico has been approved, Southern California, you've got the Northwest Training Range in Northern California, Oregon, Washington, the Alaska ranges, and the list keeps going on. And we're talking about real war on our oceans.
Right, because I'd like to interject that you use the term, they're going to be practicing, they're going to be practicing, but this isn't practice. This is all-out war.
That's correct.
I mean, practice what? I mean, you're with this kind of arsenal of nonstop attack on the ocean, there's not going to be much left to the oceans.
No, that's correct. There's not going to be much left when they get done, because we're talking about hundreds of thousands of missiles. We're talking about all of these type of things. And it's going to be unrelenting, because each one of these ranges goes on for 5 years, and then they extend the range. You have another public comment period, and they say, well, we want to extend it for 5 years beyond that. There's not going to be no stopping. I mean, if people don't realize that now's the time to say no, because if we don't say no at this time, the warfare is going to go on, and there's going to be nothing left of habitats. And once destroyed, the Navy can't put back the habitat they destroyed with a 2,000-pound bomb. It isn't
well,
just
it
going to
like
happen.
Well, it doesn't sound like they want to put it back.
That's right. So, and also, think of this. This is not only sonar. You've got anti-submarine tracking exercises. You've got missile events, gunnery exercises, you know, even pistol shooting, bombing exercises, sinking exercises, mine warfare training. I mean, I can't even give you the whole list. It would take me about 20 minutes to give you the whole list of all the things that they're going to be using and doing. And that doesn't include all the classified information that they don't release.
So, Rosalind, the last time you appealed for people to come out and protest this, what kind of a turnout was there? I mean, are we looking at a hopeful outcome that we can gather enough people together here to really make a difference? We're talking about enough human beings to be able to stop this mechanism of this all-out militarization of the planet.
I don't know. Now, I want to sound positive, because I'm always positive about this, and there have been thousands and thousands of people, and we collected 8,000 signatures just here in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington in a very short period of time opposing this. But what, opposing the range, this was in 2010, but we had delayed the Navy from implementation in the Northwest Training Range where I live, Northern California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, for almost 2 years, because we kept coming back, and our congressman stood with us, U.S. Congressman Mike Thompson, very proud of him, and he stood with us, and we delayed this process for 2 years. So if you can get your congressman and you can get people that will support you, you can begin to make a big difference. However, what's happening is, with regard to these ranges, is that the Navy has refused to put this information out, make the announcement publicly to the news media so that it would be covered. So therefore, they only put information in small newspapers and hold meetings in towns of 250 people. They never have public hearings in any state capitals. It just isn't done. So they thwart the public at every move. The second thing that has happened is that the environmental groups, and I'm going to put them all in the same category, because what they have decided to do is individually oppose little bits and pieces very quietly. But they haven't joined together and gone into a national, and I criticize all of them for this, is that they haven't gone in and they haven't held a national press conference where they have joined together. They don't go on C-SPAN. They don't have a national media blitz. They just very quietly in the background say, well, we don't want to object too much to Navy training, but we have some problems. But what they do is they keep it so quiet that normally the national media doesn't pick it up very much. So it's not covered. It's not an issue. And what happened was, is I knew about this 2 weeks ago, just because I found out by accident that there was a new report out, and also that there was two new ranges to have public comment on with this huge expansion that's going on. So what I did is I sent it off to all of the major news media. I wrote an article. I sent it to everybody I knew that had contacted me about the Navy. We got the information out. And it wasn't until the NRDC, National Resource Defense Council, finally figured out that this information was out and been put out to the press that they finally came out and said something, so that yesterday there was a little bit of national news about this. But the NRDC didn't go and talk about all of the ranges and didn't talk about the Atlantic Range having a public comment period through July 20th, or the Pacific Range having a public comment period through July 10th. Wait a minute. They're both July 10th. I'm sorry. The public comment period goes from now to July 10th on both ranges. So people have time to make public comment and really work to get this issue on various agendas. But the thing was that why didn't the NRDC go and hold a national press conference and spend about an hour and hold a great big public meeting about this to let the public know? They've been very guilty, along with everyone else, in not joining with other environmental groups to really talk about what's happening. So I have a great deal of criticism for them on this scale, with the exception of probably Earth Justice, which has done an enormously good job from San Francisco on this issue. But the rest, I'm just not too happy with at the moment. So if you're contributing to these environmental groups, the other thing I thought is, if you're contributing to an environmental group, remember that before you contribute, you can say, look, unless you're going to do something about the Navy and speak out, you know, withhold their contributions. Because I'm going to tell you, unless they're fighting for something you believe in, you know, one environmental group says, well, we want to save 135 whales in Russia where there's a oil drilling. Well, when you're talking about the difference between saving 135 and 11.7 million, I would start to go for the 11.7 million because it's going to have a much greater effect when it also includes habitats.
I think that it's very important that you can convey to the people that are listening that your efforts resulted in a 2-year delay, at least buying time. And in this time period of buying this time, being able to educate more people to what's going on so that hopefully the 2 years can become 4 years and eventually shut this thing down. We have to believe it. We have got to believe that we can alter this reality or the planet's doomed.
Well, if we don't alter the reality is that the only place you're going to see marine mammals, as I told the Navy, last month, they had a meeting in Fort Bragg, California, which I attended. And I was very clear with the Navy employees and contractors that were there that I was absolutely 100% clear with them that I thought the Navy should be defending natural resources and our marine mammals, and that their tactic here is total destruction. And I asked one man who was there, one Navy person that was there, I said, how do you find it in your heart to stand here and tell me that your mitigation measures for protecting marine mammals are only effective 9% of the time? It's straight from the 17th century. Do you know how they detect marine mammals in any area? They stand on the mast of a ship like you would do in the 17th century. Instead of having a telescope, you have binoculars. And they say, well, if we can see a marine mammal like a sea turtle in the ocean or something, we're going to stop $1 billion exercise or $1 million exercise so that until they're out of range. I don't believe a word of it.
I don't either. Hold on a minute, Rosalind. People, I need you to call in and voice your concern. And usually when I call for people to call in, there's not a huge amount of response. But certainly, if you are not outraged by what you're hearing, if you don't have an opinion, then boy, I'll tell you what, I guess you never will. I want to hear these opinions. I would love for you to call in and voice your concern and ask questions of Rosalind. The number is 888-627-6008. Let me give it to you again. That's 888-627-6008. And if you find the line is busy, you can always try the other lines by checking on the bbsradio.com. Website. There are a number of lines you can call in on. But please call in now. We've got still 20 minutes. And let's get a debate going here about what you're hearing, how urgent it is, how absolutely, utterly enormous it is, and what we lovers of whales and dolphins and the beauty of this planet are going to do about it. So while we wait for you to call in, Rosalind, please go ahead with...
Well, I'll go ahead because I'm really in an uproar about this. But I also told the Navy personnel when they were here that I asked them how they were going to explain to their children, their grandchildren, and their families that they didn't stand up for the weakest among us, our marine mammals, and their habitat. And I asked them how they were going to explain to their children and grandchildren that one day we wouldn't be able to see any marine mammals in the wild alive, that we would just see them in old movies, like something that used to be here that we once destroyed. And I said, I told this one Navy man, I said, you swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And I said, you swore an oath to uphold and protect the weakest among us. And I said, the weakest among us are marine mammals or fish. I said, the food supply that many of us depend upon for food, and I said, and recreation and fishermen. And I said, I'm here to stand before you to tell you that you need to stand up and protect our natural resources and our oceans. I said, the act of war cannot mean that we destroy our oceans. That cannot be the meaning of war. And if that becomes what war means, is that in order to have all these bombs and practices and everything, live fire instead of duds, for heaven's sake, they could shoot off duds if they wanted to. Most of the time, they don't have to use live fire. And I said, your job is to protect the weakest among us. Or what protects the weakest among us from harm? And I said, you should be protecting our natural resources in the oceans, not blowing them to kingdom come or sonarizing everything in it.
And what kind of feedback did you get?
Much to my surprise, I had given this little talk to one of the Navy personnel standing in front of me before I left when the meeting over in Fort Bragg was over. And to my knowledge, only U.S. Navy personnel, about 20 of them, were there. And I shook hands with this officer and said, thank you for letting me say what I needed to say, after I'd kind of bedeviled them nicely for almost 3 hours. And I thought that only Navy personnel were there. And when I turned to walk out the door about, I don't know, 15 feet from where I was standing, all of a sudden the entire room broke into applause. And they applauded, and I turned, and I was stunned to see them all standing and applauding. And then I waved and said thank you, and I walked out the door, and I was kind of in a state of shock because the applause continued until the door shut behind me. And I was kind of speechless and overwhelmed because I always try to treat everyone with respect, but I was kind of overwhelmed that there was some, in other words, that what I had to say maybe they couldn't say, but maybe I was speaking for some of them. I don't know. It's really hard to know, but that's what happened.
That's encouraging. What can you tell us about NOAA and their role in all of this?
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, rubber stamps the taking of marine mammals without providing sufficient mitigation measures that would protect marine mammals more than 90% of the time. They only require 9% of the time. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is a cooperating agency with the Navy, and even though they're supposed to protect marine mammals in our oceans and to be an organization that would protect fish, they're not doing it because as a cooperating agency, they get some funding from the Navy for different research, which means they have a conflict of interest, and they rubber stamp whatever the Navy wants to do. So even though they have to put their stamp of approval and give a letter of authorization for the takes, and allowing harm to come to marine mammals, they are not an oversight agency. So therefore, we see just this straight rubber stamping. So I hold that organization, NOAA, a department of the U.S. Department of Commerce, clearly responsible for what is taking place in our oceans as well.
So then any protest should include and highlight protest against NOAA. Why don't we just disband the whole organization?
Well, I like some of what they do. As far as NOAA should not be a cooperating agency. NOAA should have oversight to protect marine mammals no matter what and not permit the Navy to do whatever they want to do. And so I don't know that disbanding the whole organization, because we do need some of the laws and some of the things that they oversee in other areas, but they shouldn't be a cooperating agency with the Navy. They should have direct oversight to veto whatever the Navy has to protect marine mammals and ocean habitats. Otherwise, but I hold them responsible because they're not taking direct action to say no and speak out right now.
An email has just come in response to my request for people to contact us. And the question is, Rosalind, who is the decision maker? And she says, I know this might sound naive, but who do we have to get to effect change?
You have to get to your U.S. senator. The President of the United States is probably going to be unresponsive, and we have found that to be. He doesn't respond to anything, any missives by any of us for years to even respond back on this issue. So I think that the people that can vote and change this and hold U.S. congressional hearings. See, I'd like to see the U.S. Senate hold U.S. congressional hearings on this issue, and I've advocated for that for a long time. So the power holder is the U.S. Senate, and it is your U.S. Senator right at this time.
So, how can we help you? Because we see in you a true advocate, and you're walking your talk, and you're out there speaking to the military, speaking to the Navy, and being applauded for what you've got to say. So what can we do? How can we rally around you besides obvious, what you've stated about calling in and protesting to the Congress? What specific things can we do to help you?
Well, we need people to have petitions and to sign petitions. We need people to collect signatures on petitions and get them to their elected officials. We need to become the squeaky wheel because it gets the oil. I hate to say this, but it's like putting marbles in a hubcap. You're not going to drive too far along the road because the rattle in your hubcap will be so enormous that you'll get out and you'll fix it. So we need to be the squeaky wheel or the rocks in a hubcap, and we need to be noisy enough, loud enough, and pushy enough to begin to get this issue so that there is nowhere that anyone can go without knowing about this issue. And that's why I put letters on my website. Petitions are on my website, and whatever anybody can do to start to force this issue forward between now and July 10th, because that's the end of the public comment periods for both the Atlantic Range and the Pacific Ocean Range. And if we can get them to, now here's the thought here. We need to get them to postpone final public comment. In other words, because we want enough people to know about this public comment period so that more people can comment. We need congressional hearings. We need letters to the editor. We need to have every single solitary one. You know, a lot of times emails are really good to reporters, because sometimes reporters will give their email address. And so what you want to do is have something factual that you can send to them with your opinion that has some facts that they can look up with the links or something, and start sending this to the media as well. And your U.S. congressman, surprisingly enough, can ask for delays, can ask for more Navy meetings and hearings, can ask for, and so can your state legislators. Senators and assemblymen at the state level can ask for this. You can pressure your governor, especially in this time when a lot of them are running for re-election. Because I can tell you, the last thing that they want to have to answer when they come home and ask for your vote is to talk about the U.S. Navy and why they're not protecting the marine mammals. Serious.
This is true.
Your voice, you know, a lot of people, when they're at a public meeting, they tend to ask questions that the media ask all the time. Why bother? Why not go in and say, look, we know that Congressman X is coming to our town, or a city council person, or a Mendocino Board of Supervisors, for example, where I live, and they're supporting the protection of marine mammals here. And so what you can do is you can take 3 minutes, you can speak to them at their meeting on any topic, you can give them literature, you can ask them to support, in other words, your congressman, or get your congressman to talk about these issues. You can ask for congressional hearings. There's so much that can be done, but it takes each person doing a little bit, and if more and more people do a little, a lot can be accomplished.
Yes, I am a little bit concerned. Opinions, because of all the propaganda and the squeeze that we're feeling about protesting anything. And this is something that we have to really face as a population, because the fear of being able to fight for what we believe in, if we give into that fear and we don't do what needs to be done, we we stand to really see the, like Rosalind said, the grandchildren, I think even children, the next generation will be faced with a planet with no mammals in the ocean. This is not acceptable. We have got to raise our voice.
But you know, people, you know, there's been a phrase that one congressman's aide called me, you know, I'm patriotic. And
yeah.
I said that the most patriotic thing that one can do is to protect our natural resources and to redirect programs that aren't correct. In other words, the Navy doesn't have to practice in every single area of the Atlantic or the Pacific or the Gulf of Mexico. Think of this. In 2011, about a year after the BP oil spill and other catastrophes hit the Gulf of Mexico, the Navy has decided that they're going to have a warfare range going on, big expansion in the Gulf of Mexico. Can you imagine they're having so many problems there from the impact of the Gulf oil spill lingering, and now we're going to have the Navy wiping out more marine mammals and fish and everything else there? The people of the Gulf of Mexico have had enough, and I think that the Navy should not be expanding its warfare testing and to take more marine mammals. I mean, how much do you want the people in the Gulf of Mexico to have to survive because their basic industry is fish? Their basic industry is tourism, their basic industry. And what, we're going to have the Navy in there blowing up the Gulf of Mexico?
They've almost destroyed it anyway with the oil, so...
Yeah, they almost destroyed it with the oil, so we're going to finish it off because we're going to allow Navy sonar and bomb blasts and all these other things to occur in the Gulf of Mexico. We don't
need to
have live fire practice. And when
I was called unpatriotic,
I got angry about that because I said, look, I am patriotic. I think that the Navy can very well test without destroying our oceans.
Yeah,
this
I would like to remind people that when the book came out, Before We Leave You, Messages from the Whales and Dolphins, I got some reaction from people saying, you know, this is kind of an ominous title and the whales and dolphins are joyful beings and they're not leaving and all, and some of this feedback. And I would like you to remember that as we talk about these issues in 2012, that ominous title is potentially happening. And so here we are. We've got 3 months now to voice our concern. We've got to rise to the occasion so that they don't leave us and so that we fulfill our role as caretakers of this planet. It is time to stand up, folks. And as you've heard from Rosalind, there is a great urgency now. This is humongous. Please listen. Please move. Please be fearless and talk to whoever you can. And let's get this thing out there as big as possible. So, again, Rosalind, the time has flown with you. It's almost closing of... I'd like to leave, actually, with a little bit more positive feeling after having had you on. Let us know from you what you foresee as a brighter future for what we can accomplish united.
I think that we can save and protect our oceans and our national marine sanctuaries and our marine reserves and biologically sensitive areas. I just think that we need to stand to do that, and I'm positive that we can. I wouldn't be here today talking to you or doing any of the things that I've been doing if I wasn't positive that we could make a difference. And I have to believe that because I don't want my grandchildren to go up and not see any marine mammals in live and in person someday. And I think that really it's important that we take a positive attitude that change is possible. I mean, women in this country, in the United States, when my mother was born, didn't have the right to vote. And through a long process, women won the right to vote. And so I think that if we can do that and take some other major strides, this is something we can do too. And I think it's an important for the environment. So I encourage everyone to go to my website, agriculturedefensecoalition.org. If you need to contact me, my contact information is there, or you can call 707-485-7520 or send an email, and I'll be happy to answer and respond and help out in any way I can.
Fantastic. Okay, everybody. I'm sorry we didn't have any call-ins. I want you to think about that, and hopefully you will get in touch with Rosalind or me. There's a lot going on my end, too, and I'm definitely going to be pairing up again with Rosalind to do whatever I can to join her forces and help as much as we can so that July we effect a change and push back this horrific plan. So thank you for listening. I know sometimes my show isn't as easy as others, but this is information we need to face. When I get emails from people that say, Patricia, what do you have to say about the 900 dead dolphins in Peru? What's happening? What's causing it? Oh my God. I remind you.
Why don't we take a look at the U.S. Navy warfare testing?
Exactly. Let's look at the sonar. Let's look at all the testing. And, you know, we're seeing droves of dolphins dying, and we must move. So with that thought, I remind you that you've been listening to Beyond the Matrix, the program that dares you to think outside the box of convention. And I am imploring you to do that and raise your voice and follow Rosalind's suggestions. Get to work. Talk to whoever. Ever will listen, the media, your congressman, let's get this issue out. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get this all the way into the presidential debates? This is the time, as Rosalind said, lots of voting is going to be taking place. We need to make this their bailiwick. With that thought, this is Patricia in Kazakhstan saying, thank you, Rosalind. I am always grateful for what you bring to the world.
You're welcome, and thank you for your efforts as well.
Thank you, Rosalind. Okay, everybody, I'm signing out, and I will be back with you 2 weeks from now. So, nanu, nanu.